Truck and Driver podcast is sponsored by Fortune Tires, who manufacture high-quality, durable tires designed for operators who are looking for exceptional value across every application. Fortune Tires is proud to partner with International Tires, the exclusive distributor of their truck tires in the UK. For more info, visit internationaltires.com/fortune or call 0121 552 6888. Drive forward with Fortune Tires.
Hello and welcome to the Truck and Driver podcast. It's Matt Ireland once again, and we're going to continue on with Michael Pearson's life story. If you haven't listened to part one, please go back and listen to that first, otherwise this might not make a huge amount of sense. But I hope you enjoy our chat.
Yeah, we used to do that regular, Barcelona. So we ended up, there were 24 lorries based in Leeds.
Mm-hmm.
And six of us out of that 24 were trampers.
Yeah.
And we'd just go down to Centremere on a Monday morning and we'd load for, there'd be trailers loaded up for a wherever.
Yeah.
A lot of southern France, Spain, Portugal. And obviously, with them being owned by the brewery, we used to do a lot of beer to supermarket outlets all over Europe.
Yeah.
And that were another 6 years of a fantastic job. Came to an end, redundant again.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Because they got a new guy in charge at Centremere. The brewery ended up getting overtook by Heineken,
right?
And they put their own people in and everything, and everything got changed around that,
right?
So they ended up closing the depot down in Leeds,
right?
Moved all the lorries back to Centremere,
right?
And that were it, out of work again.
What a shame.
So Stephen, by this time, got me the job at TSA. He's working for a guy in Barnsley called Alan Lodge Tankers.
Yeah.
Never driven a tanker before. I said, hey, Steve, what's crack? He says, come down here and speak to Alan. Not Alan, Gary, Alan's son. He says, there's a job for you. I went, driving a tanker? He says, it's easy peasy. I went, I've never driven a tanker before, Steve. He says, not a problem, mate. Neither have I till I got here. So, anyway, went down and spoke to him. There I am, now driving a tanker, a chemical tanker.
Yep.
I've got all my ADR and everything, but I didn't have it in tanks.
Yep.
So while I was driving the tank, I were obviously doing non-chemicals stuff, oils and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So they put me through my ADR in tanks, got that, then I'm on all the nasty stuff.
Yep.
Stuff that can bite you, you know.
Oh, yes.
Sulfuric and caustic soda and things like that.
Yeah.
Did that for another 5 years, and guess what?
Not made redundant again.
They shut the company down. So, anyway, did this and did that. And I was out of work. I kept doing a bit for this guy, a bit for that guy, and I said to Sian, I says, I need to get back into some steady employment and stuff. I can't work like this.
Yeah.
So I ended up going down to Maru International.
Yeah.
Spoke with Vaughan, who ran the company. Obviously, I'd known Vaughan from my Edwards International days.
Yeah.
And he says, I've nothing to do now, Mick, but you can come down. I said, I'll do anything, Vaughan. I'll sweep the yard up. I'll do whatever. I said, I just need to get into some regular employment again.
Yeah.
I said, I'm going down the pan. I'm going the wrong way in my life, and I need to get back on track.
Stability.
Exactly, Matt. Yeah. That's what it's called, stability.
Yeah.
So, anyway, gets a job there, sweeping the yard, driving a forklift.
Yeah.
So, gets there. Right, jobs go vacant, working for them, driving a lorry.
Yeah.
Back to Germany. They used to do a trunk on a Wednesday to Osnabrück.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to do it, but I thought, this would be all right, this same job every week.
Yeah.
Osnabrück. Tip and load in Osnabrück. Well, we used to go out, tip in Doesburg to Rotterdam. I don't know if you've seen their lorries about Rotterdam for cargo. massive Dutch outfit.
Yes, yeah.
And we used to go to a company in Osnabrück called Koch Spedition.
Yes.
And they were their Dutch and German partners. So on a Wednesday, it took Woodlord, ship out of Hull on a Wednesday night, up to Doesburg, tip the Dutch groupage, over to Osnabrück, tip the German groupage. Friday morning, load German groupage out of Osnabrück, back to Doesburg, load Dutch groupage, back to Dewsbury on a Saturday tea time.
Yeah.
Busted little number.
Yeah.
Steady little number. Didn't work on a Monday.
Yeah.
Obviously, because we need time off.
Yeah.
Did a bit of local work on a Tuesday, Wednesday, off we go again. So, anyway, going on and going and going. I had a fallout with one of the directors.
Yeah.
I say what I say, mate. I'm a Yorkshireman. If people don't like what I say, it's their tough luck, not mine.
Yeah.
So ended up parting company.
Yeah.
And then I did a bit of this, a bit of that, and I was out of work again.
Yeah.
And then by this time, Gavin's working for Maru.
Yeah.
And he says, Dad, come back and work with me at Maru. I said, Gavin, I don't want to work with so-and-so, so-and-so, which was the director.
Yeah.
And Dad had a fallout with. No, he's all right. I said, he's not all right. He says, he's a bloody arsehole. And anyway, we goes back there and I says, I put my tongue back in and I went back and saw Vaughan. I says, hey, up Vaughan, is it out doing? I'm out of work again and this, that, and the other. I says, I've not doing Michael. He says, but like I said last time, you can come and drive a forklift.
Yeah.
And do that. And so anyway, we're often doing that, working in the warehouse, driving a forklift, loading lorries, tipping lorries and this, that, and the other. And then at the end of the week, Thursday night and Friday night, because they were the busiest groupage nights.
Yeah.
I started working at dinner time and we worked through till midnight.
Yeah.
And then on the Friday, we'd start work at midday and we'd work through till Saturday morning.
Yeah.
So we're doing that and doing that. And then one week I'm in the warehouse and the German planner came to me and says, you couldn't do us a favour, could you, Mick? I says, what's that, Warren? He says, I've got nobody to do the Osnabrück trunk tonight. You wouldn't mind doing it, would you? I went, I says, are you sure you've got nobody to do it? Because I were happy as a pig in muck, mate.
Yeah.
Honestly, yeah. I were home every night and stuff like that, enjoying life again.
Yeah.
And I says, are you sure, Warren, you've nobody else to do it? He says, I can't. I said, I've nobody to do this job. Oh, God. I said, go on then, I won't leave you in the mire, like, I'll do it for you.
Yeah.
And that were it. Back on driving lorries.
Yeah.
And that were it for 17 years.
Flipping heck.
17 years that lasted.
Is that how long Maru was? Yeah, wow.
No, Maru was up and running for 28 years.
Sorry, back up until you retired, sorry.
No, no, no. Yeah. So at the end of the day at Maru, one of the main directors wanted to retire.
Yeah.
But the owner of the company, Vaughan, didn't have enough capital to take the company forward to where it needed to be.
Yeah.
So his business partner ended up retiring, so they ended up having to sell the company.
Yeah.
So he sold the company. I got back into the yard one day. Vaughan was walking about the yard. He said, have you got a minute, Michael? I says, yeah. He says, we've sold the company. I went, what? He says, yeah, we've sold the company. You're going to be all right. I says, hey, how do you mean? I says, we're out of work then, Vaughan. He says, no. I says, you're going to be all right. We've sold it to Lehman from Denmark.
Yeah.
I went, all right. So being in the industry all my life, Matt, I knew Lehman were just trailer operators.
Yes. Yeah.
Scandinavian trailer operators. And I thought, is he right here saying you're going to be fine?
Yeah.
So anyway, not a problem. Lehman had their own depot in Leeds.
Yeah.
So they ended up buying a massive warehouse in Normanton, Wakefield, on the industrial estate. So Maru finished. We all left the yard on the Sunday, as we did every Sunday, out to Hull on the boat. And when we got back the following week, we were into Normanton, to the new premises in Normanton.
Right.
And I was the last one to leave the yard in Maru at Dewsbury. Yeah. I locked the gates.
Yeah.
That was a sad day on that Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I bet.
And we all ran to Hull, got on the ferry. The atmosphere was quite subdued, actually, instead of being quite upbeat like it normally was.
Yeah, I suppose it's a bit the unknown, isn't it? You don't know.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we'd heard all these stories and everything. And anyway, we got back to Normanton that week, and all the same faces were in the office and everything. So we thought, it could be all right here.
Yeah.
The same guys were in the warehouse, plus new faces in the warehouse from Lehman's depot in Leeds.
Yeah.
So we got on all right and everything, and then staff kept leaving and leaving and leaving. And from going to a small family-run, 100% company.
Yeah.
A company in the 28 years it was in running.
Yeah.
That company, Maru International, made a profit every year.
Yeah.
It never had a position where it didn't make money every year.
Yeah.
And they had a fallback fund of £5 million.
Yeah.
Did Maru. And everything they wanted, they bought out of this pot. They never paid anything on finance.
Yeah.
Everything was cash on the table and everything.
Yeah.
So the day of the takeover and everything, that £5 million straight to Denmark.
Yeah.
Gone.
Yeah.
So all the Maru staff that did the Western Europe work were all still there, but the different divisions that Maru had were deep sea, air freight, Far East, Middle East, Australasia. They had several different divisions.
Yeah.
And the amount of vehicles they loaded on a week, they'd load nigh on 250 trucks a week.
Crikey.
Plus containers.
Yeah.
We started that little depot in Dewsbury.
Wow.
And it went all over the world.
Yeah.
And what a fantastic atmosphere to work in. Everybody was... They were like brothers and sisters. It was like working with your brothers and sisters, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody were on first terms. You could have a good laugh.
Yeah.
If you had a bollocking from the gaffer, it was forgotten about instantly and stuff like that. There were no old grudges or anything like that.
Yeah. But
anyway, we're back working for Lehman's. We're doing what we were doing at Maru. There were 18 vehicles turned over to at Lehman's.
Yeah.
On the day. And vehicles kept getting, came up for replacement. They were not replaced. Drivers were made redundant and stuff like that.
You see the problem on the wall then, can't you?
Oh, man. 12 months we've been in control of Lehman's. All Lehman's would have been in control of Maru. 12 months to the day, they laid off all the UK staff.
Yeah.
All the UK drivers. Sold all the vehicles off. And we could see the writing on the wall.
Yeah.
It was not a nice situation to be in, Matt.
Yeah.
All the vehicles we had at Maru were all paid for and everything. But when they were up for refurbishment or renewal, they were just sold off.
Yeah.
And at the end, Matt, there were just six of us left out of 18.
Yeah.
There were six of us left. And we didn't do any of the old work. They'd lost all the work that Maru had.
Yeah.
They lost everything. And it was a similar situation to when Hay Pollock took over Bowlers.
Yeah.
All they ended up with six trucks.
Yeah.
Both Gavin and myself were there at the time, and we loved it because myself and Gavin, we weren't frightened of going anywhere.
Yeah.
The other ones were quite happy doing Germany and a bit of Belgium and Holland and stuff. So we ended up working for the Italian and Spanish departments, me and Gavin.
Right.
Gavin would do Italy one week, I'd do Spain the same week.
Yeah.
Come back, then I'd do the Italy, do the Spain.
Yeah.
And we did that for about 6 months, Mark, and it was a great, great job.
Yeah.
Straight out Italy, you went to Como, sometimes you went to I can't remember now anyway.
Yeah.
But we went there to clear. Tip back up to Como. You clear and tip in what's the name of the bloody town? I can't remember it now. Vercelli. Yeah. Vercelli. There were a big caterpillar plant there. And we used to take caterpillar engine parts out of Perkins at Peterborough.
Yeah.
They had a job to do in that, and we did that. And then we'd tip there, then back up to the depot in Como, tip and load groupage and back up. You're home Thursday night, leaving Sunday morning.
Lovely.
And vice versa. And then back to Barcelona, you went to... sometimes you did a delivery in Barcelona, topside of Barcelona, between
Girona.
That's it, Girona.
Yeah.
Between Girona and Barcelona, you'd do a delivery. And then you were down to the depot, 50K south of Barcelona, in there, tip, load, and back. You were back home Friday tea time.
Yeah.
Cushy number.
Yeah, great steady number. Enough. Yeah.
Oh, it was a lovely job. Italy, Spain, that's all me and Gavin did.
Yeah.
And obviously, things were happening when we get back. The lorries, we'd all had new lorries at the time, and these lorries were coming up for replacement.
Yeah.
And things were not happening that should have been happening. Like Gavin's ADR ran out, and they wouldn't renew it. My ADR ran out, and they wouldn't renew it.
Yeah.
There were no plans for vehicles to be renewed or anything like that, and we kept asking. Back to the Lifttrans situation.
Yeah.
Asking the questions and getting told the same answers.
Yeah.
So we all got together. There were just six of us at the end, Matt.
Yeah.
And we said, one Friday night, we went in and we said, look, we're all fed up. We want to know, is our job secure? Because we're putting pieces to this jigsaw and they're not fitting.
Yeah.
So we want to know. The guy who ran it was he was the transport manager, a guy called Johnny, worked at Maru from leaving school, and he worked his way up. And great guy, lovely guy was Johnny. And I said, look, Johnny, we need to know what's happening. And he kept saying, I can only tell you what they're telling us in Denmark. I says, right. What we're going to do, Johnny, I says, we're going out this Sunday. All six of us are going out next Sunday. And you've got till next Friday to find out what's happening.
Yeah.
Because as of next Sunday, we won't be shipping out.
Yeah.
Until we get an answer.
Yeah.
Right, okay. I says, so the ball's now in your court. Speak to Denmark to find out what the situation is. Anyway, we came back. we all came back. The following Friday, in the meeting again, and this guy walked in the meeting, a guy I'd never ever seen before, Matt.
Yeah.
He'd only just started at the company, walked in this meeting, my name's so-and-so and so-and-so, and I says, well, who are you? He says, I'm the new traffic controller. I went, you what? You're the traffic controller? I says, how long have you been here? He says, I've been here now 3 weeks. I says, well, how come none of us have never seen you or been introduced to you? I says, anyway, what you're doing in here, we're waiting to speak to you. He says, I'm here to tell you that you're all being made redundant. And that went straight out like that.
Yeah.
I went, I beg your pardon. I says, you, a guy who we've never met, you've just started at the company, you're just here and you've just made all the six redundant. None of us even knew you existed. So anyway, the atmosphere was electric, mate, I'll tell you. I lost my rag. I gave him both barrels.
Yeah.
But so this was in the February.
Yeah.
So the vehicles were up for renewal in the August.
Yeah.
So we were thinking, right, trucks are up for renewal in August. The letters run till August. When the trucks are ready, we'll be off. And it says, by the way, the effect of this redundancy will start on the 28th of February. So we had 2 weeks.
Flip an egg.
Yeah. And basically, that was it. That was the end.
Yeah.
That was the end, mate.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I was 63 at the time. I thought, that's it, I'm retiring. I've had enough.
Yeah.
I've had enough of this job where getting good jobs. But it's like everything else, Matt. All good jobs come to an end.
They do, sadly, yeah.
So, anyway, Gavin's got he spoke to this guy he knew. I knew the guy also, a guy from Driffield in East Yorkshire. Gavin's got a job working for him.
Yeah.
He's straight off redundant, straight from Lehman's, straight onto this job, running skins to Italy.
Yeah.
And then loading full products back. So he's happy as a pig in muck again.
Yeah.
It's got a nice big Scania on a fridge, running fridges now.
Yeah.
I'm sat at home one Wednesday, having breakfast with my wife. Phone goes. And you know when you recognise a number?
Yeah.
You can't put a face to it.
Yeah.
And I looked at this number and looked at Sian. I thought, I know this number, but I don't know it. And anyway, I answered it. He says, hello, Mick, it's Dave Shotton here. He says, I'm with your Gary on the way to Malta. I says, oh, yeah, okay. He says, you couldn't get me out of the mire, could you? I says, I don't know, Dave, just let me know what the problem is, and if I can help you, I'll help you.
Yeah.
And what have you? So he says, I've just had to lay a bloke off as it were a waster.
Yeah.
He says, I've got a lorry in the yard with a fridge loaded and it's for delivery tomorrow and Thursday. He says, you couldn't get me out at Meyer and do that job for me, could you? I says, Dave, I won't leave you in the Meyer light. Where yeah. are you and what have you? And he says, right, go to the yard, you'll meet my wife, she'll give you the keys and go do this job for me. So I did that. Got back to the yard, handed the keys back to his wife. End of story.
Yeah.
So Monday morning, myself and Sian sat having breakfast, and this phone goes again, and this number again. I thought, that's that number. Who is it? And I answered it again. He says, oh, well, Mick, it's Dave Shotton. I went, oh, hey, Dave. He says, thank you very much for doing that job for me. Send us your bank details. Your money will be in the bank this morning. I went, not a problem, mate. I hope I got you out of the mire and this, that, and this. He says, you did great. He says, you don't want to come and work for me full time, do you? I just put my head back and I looked at Sian sat opposite me. She just shook her head. she knew what was coming. I says, doing what? She said, doing the same as your Gavin. Out with skins to Italy, load full products and other things back. And that, I says, go on then. He says, you'll be driving that lorry that you were in. It were a brand new Renault Range T.
Yeah.
All the boxes ticked. What an amazing lorry to drive that. Unbelievable.
Some different Leyland Super Comet, isn't it? Huh?
Well, jumping from the Leyland Comet into that Renault R340.
Yeah.
And then jumping into this Renault, it were another...
World apart, yeah.
Oh, definitely. But it had every extra.
Yeah.
Every single extra you could imagine was on that lorry.
Yeah.
And I did that for 6 months.
Yeah.
We had a bad trip one day. I ended up falling out with him.
Yeah.
And I was on my way back from Italy. And I have a friend who works for Grampian. Well, he worked for Essex International.
Yes.
A guy called Murray Grant.
Yes.
Lovely guy. Great friend.
We need to get Murray up here, really, don't we?
You do.
Yes.
Murray has been everywhere.
Yeah.
You do. You need to do a podcast with Murray. You name it, he's done the lot. And unbeknown to myself and Gavin, when we got made redundant at Lehman, he put our names forward at Grampian.
Right.
Like I say, if you're wanting any good drivers, there's Michael and Gavin here just being made redundant. And they're out of work looking for work. The job and what have you. So I'm coming back from Italy this Monday. Phone goes, Murray sent me a text. Hiya, Michael, how are you doing? Blah, 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 blah. He says, the guys in Aberdeen have been trying to get hold of you. He says, there's a job going here and it's yours if you want it.
Oh.
I thought, bloody hell. Grampian. I says, that is the cream of the crop, that. If you can get a job at Grampian Continental, you've made it.
Yeah.
So... I went, oh, cheers, Murray, thank you for that. I says, how do they know about me? He says, well, I put yours and Gavin's name forward when you got made redundant at Lehman. I went, oh, great stuff, thank you for that, Murray. Anyway, I rung one of the numbers he gave me, there were no answer. So I rung this other number. Guy answered the phone. His first words were, hiya, Michael, how are you? I went, how did you know it were me? He says, I've just been talking to Murray Grant about you. I went, all right, great stuff. I said, lovely guy, Murray. He says, yeah. I says, he's put your name forward here. There's a job for you if you want it. He says, I know what you can do and how you do it, and you look after the vehicle. I've seen everything you've put on Facebook. You keep the vehicles immaculate and this, that, and the other, and where you've been and what you've done, and this. He says, there's a job here for you. I went, oh, great stuff. I says, right, put me down. I said, do you want me to come up to Aberdeen for an interview next week? He says, yeah, that'd be great. He went, oh, sugar. He says, we're not in Aberdeen next week. I says, all right. He says, we're going to the historical truck show at Gaydon.
Yeah.
He says, myself, Michael Lacey, and his dad are going down there. I says, that's not a problem. This is Josh Livingston, who's the transport manager at Grampian.
Yeah.
Great guy. Another fantastic guy to work for. Got a lot of time for Josh.
Yeah.
So I says, not a problem, mate. I says, I'll come down and meet you at Gaydon because I'm into old trucks. I says, I'll get hold of my grandson. We'll come down there for a weekend and we'll meet you down there.
Yeah.
So that's what we did. Went down to Gaydon. I had my interview in the restaurant upstairs in the in the main building.
In the calf.
Gaydon.
Yeah.
in the calf. And great. Absolutely lovely. And it turned out that Michael Lacey, who owns the Essex side, actually started his career at Bowler Logistics.
Blimey.
Yeah. He left school circle. And went to work there from school. Full circle.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and then he went his own way and then he's ended up owning Essex.
Yeah.
That's another thing anyway. So, yeah, not a problem. I said, when do you want me to start? I said, do you want me to go up this week up to Aberdeen? He says, no. He says, because nobody knows anybody about anything about you in Aberdeen. He says, we're going here now. We're going down to Cine in Belgium, to the truck scene in Belgium.
Yeah.
He says, what we'll do is when we get back to Aberdeen, I'll give you a shout and then we'll take it from there. I went, perfect. Thank you, Josh. Shook hands. Went did a bit more around the show and everything. And we went home, left it at that.
Yeah.
So I sat at home all week, what have you, and told my wife I've got a job working for Grampian and this and the other. And I went onto the website, seeing all the things that they did and what have you. So we sat there, and on the Monday, we're having breakfast. She says, do you think you should ring this guy? I said, Sean, he's going to ring me. I trust this guy. He's going to ring me when he's ready.
Yeah.
So that was Monday. Went Tuesday, went, you're going to have to ring this guy. I says, I'm not ringing him, Sean. I'm not pestering him. He says he wants me, and when he says he wants me, he wants me.
Yeah.
So Tuesday went by. So we're having breakfast on the Wednesday morning. She says, Michael, you're going to have to ring him. It's not going to happen. And as you were saying that, the phone went.
Yeah.
I went, here you go, look. and that was Josh on the other side.
Yeah.
On the other end of the phone. He says, right, hiya, Michael. Are you all right? I said, yeah. I said, how did your trip go? But I mean, a talk. Like, he says, it went great stuff. He says, right. He says, there's a lorry in our depot in Bedlington in the northeast, just topside of Newcastle.
Yep.
He says, it's been there a while. The driver's had to finish due to ill health. He says, so if you can run up there tomorrow, put your gear in it and give me a shout from there. I says, yeah, not a problem, mate. I says, I'll get Sean to run me up there. And we did. So, and then I rang him back. I says, is there any chance I can go up this afternoon and move in this afternoon? He went, yeah, not a problem. Help yourself. Keys will be so-and-so, so-and-so. And off we went up to Bedlington.
Yeah.
Got all my gear in the car and everything. Got up there, DAF 95 Super Space parked up there.
Yeah.
Looked immaculate from the outside. Sian said to me, where are the keys? I says, what do you want the keys for? She says, if I open that door and that truck is a dustbin, she says, we are going straight home. I went, right, okay, love. So I got the keys. I give her the keys. She opened the door, climbed up. She looked in, got down, shut the door, and gave me the keys.
I
thought, oh no, looks like we're going home. I says, well, she went, have a look. So I went and opened the door and had a look, and it was like brand new, Matt.
Fantastic.
It was like brand new. It was 2.5 year old, 3 year old.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'd had it valeted or anything or not, but it was like brand new. You could eat your food off the floor.
Wonderful.
Both sides.
Yeah.
So that was a good start. So I put all my gear in it, said goodbye to Sean, spoke to him. I said, right, I moved in. Rang him up in Aberdeen. I said, right, I moved in, John. Yeah, okay. We'll send you a message tomorrow. There's a trailer coming off the boat in Newcastle. He said, it's loaded for Peter Lee. He says, go deliver that, and then we'll get you back up to Newcastle for a trailer for Aberdeen so we can do your induction.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, mate, no problem. So off I went next morning down to Newcastle, collected this trailer, down to Peter Lee, delivered it at Caterpillar to Peter Lee.
Yeah.
Rang him, I says, right, that's me done just down at Peter Lee. He says, right, go down to Huddersfield, get yourself home tonight. He says, load out of Huddersfield for Italy. I says, I thought I was coming up to Aberdeen. He says, yeah, so did we, but you're doing this now. I went, right, okay. And they were loading a job out of Huddersfield, where we used to load out of there, same firm, when I was at Maru.
Wow.
Yeah. So in there, loaded for, it were turbos actually, going to Iveco in Turin.
Yeah.
So off I goes down there, loaded there on the Tuesday morning, the Friday morning, loaded there, down to Dover, bosh,
yeah,
to Turin.
Yeah.
And that was my first trip for Grampian.
Yeah.
From that day onwards, Matt, that was the best job I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
And
just variety, isn't it? Just no two
I've
days.
I've done a lot of things, Matt, in my career, but I must admit that was the best job I've ever had. So anyway, did these deliveries around Milan, loaded, back up to Aberdeen. I'm up to Aberdeen, introduced myself, right, Michael, this is so-and-so. I'll get you to speak with the girl from HR. She got me on my uniform, introduced me to everything, gave me a tour of the depot and everything. And my first impressions, Matt, were, this is a well-organised outfit.
Yeah.
This is where I should have been 20 years ago. Anyway, I'm loading there. It says, right, you've got a job, so-and-so. Loading for Holland, load of drill pipe. Never touched any oil field gear in my life.
Yeah.
I went up there with an open mind, mate, and I spoke to the drivers. I introduced myself. I said, hi, my name's Michael. I'm a new kid on the site. I have never done oil gear in my past career.
Yeah.
I said, I've done lots of things, but it's always been fridges, tilts, taut liners, and flats.
Yeah.
I says, but I've never done anything involving oil gear.
Yeah.
And the first bloke I spoke to, he says, I said, I'm loading some drill pipe. There's a trailer here with drill pipe on it. So I'm going to Holland with it. He says, so am I.
Yeah.
He was just strapping his trailer down. I says, could I borrow some of your knowledge of how to strap and strap this drill pipe down? He just put his straps down there and he walked straight to the trailer with me. He says, my name's Stuart. You need to do this. You need to do that. You need to do that. And every job I did, I went and sought advice for the first 6 months I was there, Matt.
Yeah.
And what a great set of guys there.
Yeah.
These guys have been at that company through various phases. Some of the guys have been there 40-odd years.
Wow.
And Murray Grant, one of them.
Yeah.
What Murray doesn't know about truck driving throughout Europe, he's forgotten more than people have learnt.
Yes.
Honestly.
Yeah, well, definitely.
What an outstanding gentleman that man is.
Yeah.
And he was always so helpful to me at the other end of a phone if I had a problem or wanted advice.
Yeah.
That guy gave me the correct advice. Anyway, so I'm there. I'm doing all these things. Going to places I only dreamt of going, Matt.
Yes.
Las Palmas.
Yeah, yeah.
Sicily.
Yep.
Greece.
Finally got to Greece,
mate. Yeah. And it, I, remember the first time I went to Las Palmas?
Yeah.
Got my trailer loaded and everything. I thought, I'm going to Las Palmas. I'm going to, I'm actually driving my truck to Gran Canary.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get over it, mate. I was like a kid in a sweet shop.
I bet you were, yeah.
Honestly, mate. Yeah. Anyway, there were three of us going because on them jobs, you were nearly always with some other guys. There may be one guy with you, or there may be six guys with you.
Yeah, there's often lots whatever of it that, to go, isn't there?
Oh, exactly, yeah. Mate. Whatever the oil company wanted the equipment and where they wanted it and how much it was, it just went. And it was just an eye-opener to me, mate.
Yeah, yeah. It's
so
if I was to go back up the road, it would certainly be high on my choices of who to go and work for, someone like that.
I would recommend that company to everybody, anybody. Like I say, anyway, we're off to Gran Canary. Me and another lad, two lads. One of them's become a really good friend of mine, actually.
Yeah.
Who no longer works there now because he's moved down into Ashford in Kent.
Yeah.
But we're off down there, we're down through Spain, get to Cadiz, get a message. Sorry, Michael, you're not going to Gran Canary.
Yeah.
He says, your trailer is, but you're not.
Flipping.
One of the other guys, his trailer's going and he's not.
Yeah.
So the other guy, he's going and he's going to tip all three trailers in Gran Canary.
Yeah.
So you're down there in Cadiz in a hotel for the week. I thought, right, okay.
Yeah. It's a bit of a letdown.
What on that?
But
it was a bit of a letdown, mate, to be honest with you. Swimming pool on the roof and in Cadiz in Spain, 30-odd degrees, walking up and down the seafront on the night looking for a restaurant.
Yeah,
it was very, very hard to do that job, mate. It was really, really well.
Yeah.
But anyway, we had a good crack, me and the lad that was down there with us. We got to know each other quite well. Had a great week.
Yeah.
Then the final Saturday comes, the other guys back off the boat with our empty trailers.
Yeah.
And that were up into Spain, loaded tiles out of Castellón area.
Yeah.
Back for the UK.
Yeah.
And it just carried on like that. And the jobs I've done, Matt, the equipment I've carried, and I've done a lot of firsts there.
Yeah.
A lot of firsts. And I take my hat off to that company. They are an absolutely amazing company to work for.
Yeah.
Grampian Continental, Essex International. Great people.
So how long were you there for?
I was there for 3.5 years, Matt.
Yeah.
Because I started there when I was 63 and a half.
Yeah.
And I'd always said I'm going to work till I'm 70.
Yeah.
If I had my body will allow me, if I had my health and everything.
Yeah.
I just loved it there, mate. It came far, far too late in my career, did that job.
Yeah.
Far, far too late. It was sad. It was sad to finish there. I didn't want to leave, but I thought, chance says to me one day, Michael, you can't go on forever. You are not indestructible.
Yeah.
And I said, I know that, love. I know. But the 3.5 years that I had there, mate, were absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah.
I learnt a lot of things there.
Yeah.
Did a lot of firsts, carried a lot of things that I'd never in my own dream that I would carry.
Yeah.
It was just great, mate. It was just great 3.5 years.
Yeah.
And it was a situation where it was the best place to finish my career because I couldn't go any better.
Yeah, finish on a high.
Finish on a high.
Yeah.
Finish on a high, mate. And as I say, 50 years down the line.
Yeah.
From driving trucks since I was 17.
Yeah.
Driving Arctics for 50 years all over England, Europe, Scandinavia.
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that bit out when I forgot about that job. I got a job working for a local outfit that did conference trucking.
Oh, right, yeah.
And a bit of showbiz trucking.
Yeah.
And we used to do a lot of conferences and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I went all over Scandinavia and I ended up getting a job for an exhibition company.
Yeah.
Based in Barnsley. And they subbed all their work out. And a friend of mine knew the director there, and this is, they're going to get their own vehicle, do it all in-house.
Yeah.
And this is, you can go drive the truck for him because he's a good friend of mine, and I've put your name in and everything. And at that time, they had the contract to do TIP trailers.
Oh, right.
Every truck show, motor show, commercial vehicle show, throughout Europe.
Wow.
And I did, I drove to Sweden, I did Norway, Denmark, Finland, Barcelona, Holland, Munich, all with this exhibition set. And the set itself, when it were built up, resembled a trailer.
Why?
And some of the vehicles I got, I remember going to one in Herning in Denmark.
Yeah.
They had a big, massive commercial, a motor show, where all the new vehicles were released and stuff like that.
Yeah, they got a big showground there, haven't they?
Yeah. And it were all indoors, And I were there, we'd be putting this, erecting this stand in this hall and everything. And I walked in another hall, and I'll never forget this. There was Krone trailers were there.
Yeah.
And these Scandinavian outfits where they have a full-size Arctic pulling another Arctic trailer.
Yes, yeah.
And I walked in this stand, and I just happened to look to the left, and there was a Krone stand. And I looked up, and I thought, how the bloody hell they got that up there? It was a full Scandinavian outfit, tractor unit, trailer with another trailer, and it was on stilts.
Flipping egg.
Oh, unbelievable, mate. And I thought, how the hell have they got that up there? It went up to the roof of the building.
Wow.
A complete outfit. And outside there were Famanville with all these super extendable things, you know what they use for wind turbines and stuff like that.
Yeah,
they had four of these, and they had one of these trailers down each side of the building.
Yeah,
and they were extended to the max. There must have been extended 100 foot.
Wow.
And I was just in awe, mate. I were honestly.
Yeah.
But, and we, like I say, we did that all over Europe. That stand.
Oh, lovely. Great.
Yeah.
But, so is there anywhere in your career that you didn't go that you wish you had?
Yeah, the Middle East.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
I think most people who haven't been there would like to have done that.
At that era.
Yeah.
Definitely. I wish I'd have been able to. I wasn't old enough at the time when it was. I was still in the late teens and stuff like that. So.
Yeah.
But there was a company based in Leeds that did a lot of it.
Yeah.
In fact, I ended up getting a 7.5-ton lorry from that. It was Archbold.
Yes.
They were the Fiat dealer in Leeds.
Right.
And they run a fleet of trucks to the Middle East.
Yes, yeah, they did.
And I always remember seeing them when I went and took my truck for service and thinking, where have they been to? And stuff like that.
Yeah. So what was your favourite destination then, if you had to pick one? I know it's a tough one.
Well, obviously, Spain's my favourite place.
Yeah.
Other than Spain, I would think Finland.
Yeah. Beautiful country.
I did an exhibition into Finland, and I took a Sprinter van.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a big one. It was in the Hilton Hotel in the middle of Helsinki.
Yeah.
And I drove up through Germany that way, got the boat from Rostock.
Yeah.
And sailed up to, what's it in Finland? Turku,
yeah.
Yeah, sailed up to Turku, and then I drove from Turku to Helsinki.
Yeah.
Put all the gear in the Hilton Hotel in Helsinki, and that was me then for a fortnight.
Oh, wonderful.
I got fed up of swimming in the swimming pool on the Hilton's roof.
Yeah.
And walking around and stuff. So I was having breakfast one day, and I thought, what are you going to do today, Michael? Just to break the boredom. And I thought,
yeah,
I know what I'm going to do. I'm in a Sprinter van.
Yeah.
I thought, I'm going to get on the motorway. I'm going to go down the motorway, come off at the third exit, every major road junction, I'm going to turn left.
Yeah.
So I've had breakfast, into the Sprinter van, off we go.
Yeah.
So in theory, I'm going to turn up where I left in Anna.
Yeah.
Big circle.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm going down this road. Comes off at the third exit, up the slip road, turn left, carried on. First made a junction, turn left, then went down. And I did this for nigh on 2 hours, Matt.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I come to this junction and it was a massive wide junction.
Yeah.
And it was in a forest.
Yeah.
It was a main road. It weren't a dirt track or anything. So I come to this junction and I turn left at this junction and within 50 metres, it was down to a track. and it was in a forest. It was down through this, it was this track through this forest.
Yeah.
And I thought, what are you going to do now, Michael? Do you turn round or do you go carry on? I thought, well, I'm in Sprinter van. There'll van be a place to turn round, or I can reverse out. Sprinter van, no problem.
Yeah.
So I thought, right, go on. So I set off down this dirt track, Matt.
Yeah.
I'm going down this dirt track. Something kept catching my eye in the trees. And there were these massive detached houses in these trees, in this forest.
Yeah.
Huge houses.
Yeah.
And I thought, and they were at both sides of the road, a little dirt track to these houses. And I kept going and going and going down this track. And then all of a sudden, the trees finished and it ended up into a big oasis.
Yeah.
There were a small beach. There were a massive lake there. There were a lovely beach. There were a bar, a restaurant, a cafe, a little marina there. And do you know what? I spent the rest of the day there.
Why not?
What an amazing place.
Fantastic.
And to this day, there's no way I would ever be able to go back and find that place again. But how I got back to my hotel from there was another story, but there you go.
Well, I think we'll have to save that for another day, I reckon, Mick.
Yeah, that's no problem, mate. Yeah. But been great, mate.
Yeah.
I've loved and enjoyed my career. Every minute. And if Fantastic. I had the opportunity to go do it all again, I would.
That's great to hear. That's what
and
we
I'm,
like.
I'm glad I passed all my experience and knowledge on to my son, Gavin, because he's living the dream now. So, and he's working for a good company at the minute. So,
yeah.
And he gets thought of really well because he's got the same attitude.
Yeah. Fantastic. Right. Well, I think I've taken up enough of your time now, Mick.
No, you're right, Matt. I've really enjoyed it, mate. Yeah. No problem.
Yeah, so have I. I've learned a lot. It's been an absolute pleasure, mate.
Yeah.
Lovely job. Yeah. Right, well, you take care, Mick, and we'll perhaps catch up with you soon.
All right, Matt. Thank you for everything, mate.
No worries. Great. Speak to you
Loved
soon.
It.
Lovely.
Take care, mate.
Cheers, Mick. Ta-da.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Truck and Driver podcast, sponsored by Fortune Tyres. Fortune Tyres and International Tyres, bringing you innovation and reliability to support your operation. Learn more at internationaltyres.com/fortune or call 0121 552 6888. Drive forward with Fortune Tyres.